2 Kings chapter 7. Now, if you were here Wednesday night or watched online, you know that Wednesday night we talked about 10 lepers. And I won't re-preach the sermon because I'm sure if you didn't yet, you'll probably go watch it this afternoon. But there were 10 of them. And Jesus healed all 10 of them, but only one of them returned to say thank you. One out of 10. And so we establish in our minds that we are supposed to express gratitude. It's so important. I was telling one of the boys on the way to church this morning because he spoke to me in a way that he should not have. And I said, son, what you need to know is that I've got to teach you how to talk to me, because if I don't teach you how to talk to me in a way that I appreciate, then you're not going to talk to your boss in a way that he appreciates, or your girlfriend in a way that she appreciates, so you'll never have a wife to appreciate the way you talk to her. You've got to learn how to talk to people, how to speak to people. And, you know, what we say matters. How we express ourselves matters. I've mentioned before, but in my emails, I don't say thanks. And even in texting, I try not to say thanks. Nothing wrong with it. I just feel like saying thank you means more. I don't say love you. Now, if I, you know, end in a phone call with one of the grown boys, I'll say love you, because we're men and we don't say I love you. But but we do. When we hang up the phone, we say love you, bye. You know, it's just the way we do it. But I think it's important, whether it's in print or whether it's verbal, to say I love you. Austin, I sent him a T-shirt this week he'd requested, and he emailed me yesterday, and he said, thank you, I love you. And I said to him, I love you. I don't know who else says to him, I love you, but I thought it was important he hears it from me. When I see you at the door, I say, I love you, because it's important to me. Now, I know some of y'all don't like that, so I try not to say it to the ones I don't think like it. But some people appreciate it. It might be, here's the thing, it might be the only time they hear it all week. And it's important not just that they hear it, but that they believe it, that they know that I love them. So what we say matters, how we say it matters, and that one out of 10 lepers that recovered or was healed by Jesus came back to Jesus. The Bible says he fell down at Jesus' feet. He shouted loudly, I won't do it again, and glorified God. Right? But he was praising God. I think it matters how we sing. I know some of y'all struggled through a couple of songs you might not be familiar with, but they're great songs, and it matters how we sing and how we praise and how we worship. It matters how we pray. Our words matter, and it matters that we take the time. Well, she knows I love her. Tell her. Well, they know I appreciate it. Tell them. Say thank you. That's all. Say thank you. And we... You know, the little ones, they're learning it. They know it. Thank you. They'll say thank you. In fact, if I don't acknowledge Emmy, she'll say, Dad, thank you. Dad, thank you. You're welcome, baby. But we come to 2 Kings chapter 7, still on the idea of a leper. And we're going to find four more lepers. But first, to set the stage, in this region, there was a great famine, even to the point of cannibalism. That's how bad it got. I don't know if I've ever been hungry enough to eat another person. But, I've not. Let me just clarify. I've not ever been that hungry. But here, it was even to the point of cannibalism. They were so hungry, they were so starved, that something had to change. And so, they got a severe famine. And this is in the time of the prophet Elisha. We're looking in the area of Samaria, northern Israel, if you will. Not Judah, not Jerusalem, but northern Israel. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Well, the Syrians had been invading, and so they've had a lot of trouble with this army coming out of the northeast. and they're so impoverished, like, I mean, it's bad, bad. They're beyond broke. They're beyond poor. They're struggling to survive. And the preacher, Elisha, stands up and says, this time tomorrow, you'll be able to get food cheaper than ever. That'd be a great thing to happen this week with Thanksgiving, wouldn't it? It'll be cheaper than it's been in a long time. Fine flour and barley. And that's an incredible statement. Too incredible for some to believe. In verse number 2, it says, a lord on whose hand the king leaned. In other words, an advisor to the king. Answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? I mean, what you're saying, Elisha, is impossible. You ever heard a preacher say something that just seemed completely crazy? I mean, y'all been here, so of course you have. I mean, just far out, just fantastic. It's too unbelievable. Can you imagine that the God, the Creator, the Almighty loved you? You know you better than I know. You better than anybody knows. You know your heart. And God still loves you. He knows your mind. He knows your secrets. He knows the things you won't tell anybody. The thoughts you wouldn't repeat out loud. And God knows it. And He loves you anyway. And He loves me anyway. He knows not only what we've thought, but what we've said and what we've done. He knows. And still, knowing the wickedness and the evil that can be in us and of us, God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and mine. To forgive our sins. When we put our faith in Him and ask Him to forgive us. Do you have to get baptized? No. Got to join the church? No. Got to give money? No. Got to be nice to other people? You don't have to. And all those things are good, but they're not necessary for salvation. You see, the problem is we think we got to work on it. And so when somebody says Jesus already paid the whole price, all you've got to do is receive the gift, we think that's impossible, but that's the case. And I know church people, they don't like the idea that somebody can get saved and not change. Well, here's my question. Why would you get saved and not want to change? Don't you want a better life? Don't you want to not only have the forgiveness of God, but the fellowship with God? To walk with Him and talk with Him and sing to Him and just have friendship with God? Why wouldn't you want to change? That's right. That's when He saves us, it changes our lives. But we think it's impossible that that could be true. But it is true. This counselor to the king says to Elisha, what you're saying can't happen. You see, rather than embrace hope, he mocked the message and mocked the messenger. So what did Elisha do in verse number 2? He said, oh, trust me, it's going to happen. He said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. He said, trust me, buddy, it's going to happen, but you're not going to get the benefit of it. Guys, here's the thing. I know heaven's real. I know eternity's real. I know salvation gets me there through Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be tragic to stand before God in judgment as an unbeliever and to be able at the throne of Christ to see heaven, and he say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Wouldn't it be tragic to be able to see it, but not experience it? To see it, but not benefit from it. Guys, if you're not saved, now's the time. Now's the time. There's nothing for me. I don't benefit. I'm already saved. I'm already going. I'm asking for you to call out to God right now from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I am a sinner and I know Jesus died for my sins and I accept Him as my Savior. I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Because why would you want to go to the judgment and be able to see and not be able to stay? That would be tragic. Elisha promised that that man would not benefit from what he would see. Now there were four leprous men, verse 3. Four leprous men. I go back to Wednesday night and I say to you, there were four of them. The law says that a leper, and this is a medical condition that we're not really familiar with today, but if the priest declared you to be leprous, then you would have to separate and isolate. You'd have to stay away from the general public. You couldn't live within the walls of the city, which means you couldn't go to work, which means you couldn't go to church, which means you couldn't shop at the grocery store with everybody else. But by the way, there's a famine and there is no grocery store because the shelves are empty, right? But the point I want to make is that these four lepers had found others like them. And what we find in the world is that people are going to most of the time associate with people like them. People they have something in common with. Now, if you like fishing, you're going to hang around with people that fish. If you like to hunt, you'll hang around with people that hunt. If you like NASCAR, you'll hang around people that like, you know, on and on. If you like the Gators, you'll sit on this side. Now, some of y'all got offended by that, didn't you? But you know, the Gators will hang out and cheer. I won't ask you to expose yourself this morning if you like the Gators or the Seminoles. We don't want to start any quarrels in church. But right, they'll hang out together because they like the same stuff. And these four lepers did that. The 10 lepers Wednesday night did that. What I'm saying is, look at the people around you. Because birds of a feather flock together. Lie down with dogs, wake up with fleas. Right? So that's what happens. So if you think, you know, well, I'm different from these other three guys. No, y'all are together because you're lepers. You better watch out. You might be getting leprosy, the people you hang around with, that sin in their lives. Okay, so there are four of them. They're hanging out together. They're sitting at the gate. And they said to one another, why sit we here till we die? I love this. One of them says, guys, what are we doing? We're doing nothing. We are not solving our problem by doing nothing. Amen? We're not solving our problem by doing nothing. We're hungry. We're lepers, right? We can't fix the leprosy, and we can't fix the food right now because we don't have any. But we got to do something. Let's not just sit here and expect it to fix itself. You got a problem with your job? Don't expect it to fix itself. A problem in your family? Don't expect it to fix itself. A problem with your health? Don't expect it to fix itself. You got to find a way. Got to look for a solution. Got to take action. Not just think about it. Take action. How many of us say, I'm going to go to the doctor about it sometime? Right? But we don't. We think about it, but we don't go. We got to do something. They say, well, why are we just going to sit here and just die? Let's do something. Let's try something. And so, verse number 4, they explain their idea. If we enter into the city and the famine is in the city, we'll die there. Right? Did we lose anything by doing that? No. If we sit here, we die. No difference. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. Hey, you know why? Because prison food's better than no food. That was their idea. I mean, how many of you don't really care? I'll just be without, right? But that's what he's saying. Maybe the Syrians will make us prisoners and they'll feed us. That'd be better than what we got now. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, if they execute us, because number one, we're lepers, and number two, we're not Syrians, and they kill us, did we miss anything? No, it's like, oh well, what have we got to lose? Nothing venture, nothing gain, right? Let's take a chance. They rose up in the twilight, verse 5, to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, there was no man there. Like they're walking up there. They're not trying to be secretive. Not trying to sneak in, just walking in. And they expect there to be guards, sentries out there. Nobody there. Why weren't they there? Well, the Bible tells in verse 6, the Lord had set the host of the Syrians a noise. He, He made them to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, noise of a great host. God sent the sound of an invasion. And they said, the Syrians said one to another, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. So these lepers go into the city. And everything's still there. Food's still there. Clothes, because the Syrians, they were so afraid, they took off. In fact, we find out later, as they were running so fast, they were dropping stuff as they went. You know, you think that if something's going to happen, you say, well, I need to take this with me. I can't leave without this. And so they start to go. And then finally they just say, I got to go. I can't take stuff with me. I just have to run. That's how afraid they were. Verse 8. When these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried silver and gold and raiment. And they went and hid it. And they came again into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. I mean, can you imagine? Like they just come into this camp and they just say, ooh, I'll take that. And so they just start taking stuff. And they go outside the camp and they hide it. And then they go into another tent and they get stuff. And they go outside the tent to hide it. Meanwhile, their bellies are full. Hey, the risk paid off. They took a chance and it made a difference. Why sit we here till we die? Why are we going to sit here expecting things to change when we're not doing anything to change it? If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten, right? Yes, if we want change, we've got to change. The risk paid handsomely for these four lepers. But it's Thanksgiving. What does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Look at verse 9. They say one to another, we do not well. This day is a good day, a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. He says, you know what? It's not right for us to just enjoy this. We need to share this. If we're thankful, we ought to say thank you. And if we're thankful, we ought to share. We ought to be generous. We ought to share our blessings. Are we blessed? We're so blessed. I'm reminded of the story of the Sunday school child that went to Sunday school, hadn't been much, but went to Sunday school and found out they were having a campaign to provide Thanksgiving meal for a certain poor family in the church. And so that young girl went home and told her mom, and her mom says, well, baby, we can't share. We just don't have it. And that little girl decided she was going to go out and find a way because she wanted to be a blessing to that poor family. She went out and got bottles, right? Back in the day is what you do, cash in bottles. Picked up cans, cashed them in. Got some money together, $9. Wasn't a lot of money, but it was a lot to her. She worked for it. She went to Sunday school that Sunday, and she gave her teacher that $9, and she was so proud that she was going to help that poor family. And at the end of Sunday school, the teacher said, baby, this is for your family. They'd been raising money for a poor family. That little girl didn't know she was poor. That's how it works. Isn't it incredible? What I have found in my life is that stingy people have nothing. But generous people have all they need. These four lepers got their bellies full. They went out and had their treasure hidden. And then they said, you know what? It's not right for us to be selfish. We ought to share. We ought to go tell the king. We ought to let the other people enjoy this also. So they told the king, send word, gets to the doorkeeper, the porter. The porter goes and tells the king. He says, king, you'll never believe what happened. What happened? So there's four lepers. They went to the Syrian camp. There's nobody there. What do you mean there's nobody there? There's nobody there. Like, there's no guards, there's no soldiers, there's no families, there's nobody. And said, everything's there and it's wide open. What do you mean? They left everything. They left, there's food, there's clothes, there's, I mean, everything you want, it's there. And you know, what'd the king say? That's a trap. There's no way this could be the case. This is too good to be true. Isn't that what people say sometimes about salvation? Isn't that what they say about Jesus? It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true that God could love me. I know who I am and I know my thoughts and my actions. There's no way it could be true. Yeah, it's true. And so the king says, it's a trap. Forget about it. Just move on. And one of the servants of the king said, King, should we at least check it out? I mean, we've eaten most of the horses, but we got a couple. Let's hook them up and go out there and check it out. And the Bible says when they got out there to the Syrian camp, those who were going to investigate it, they got there and you know what they found? They found exactly as the lepers had described. So much food, nobody would be hungry, which was the main treasure of the day, main need. And so word got back to the city, and what did all the people of the city do? Boy, they rushed out there. The king looked to his advisor and he says, there, I need you to do crowd control. I need you to stand at the gates. It's that same guy that told Elisha, if God opened the windows of heaven, it couldn't be true. There's just no way. And the king said, I need you to stand at the gate and keep crowd control. So he saw that it was true. All the food. He saw that it was true. But what happened to him? As he stood at the gate, he was trampled by the mob, by the crowd. You see, it was true. The promise that Elisha made came true. And the doubter didn't get to see it. I found this. You say, seeing is believing, and sometimes believing is seeing. Because if we're not hopeful, if we're not positive, if you come to church looking to get offended, I guarantee you, you'll get offended. If you come to church seeking to connect with God and to be blessed, it's going to happen. It might be in the singing. It might be in the prayer requests or the testimonies. It might be in the scripture. But some way, if that's what you're looking for, you're going to get it. By the way, when you come home to your family at the end of the day, if you're looking to be upset, you'll find a way to be upset. But if you're looking for peace and happiness and joy and love, you'll find it. Because we need to be looking at the good in life, seeing what God has done for us. Yes, there are troubles in our lives. God's been good to us, and God will make a way. Don't let a flat tire or a broken transmission get you down. Because you're always going to have something wrong. But if we'll look, we'll see there's also something right. We need to put our faith in God and look to His heart and look to Him and trust in Him that He knows what we need and He is providing all that we need. Would you stand? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus and accepted Him as my Savior. And I say to you, right now is the time you could do that. You don't need my help. You could do it where you are. From your heart to God, just pray and say, God, forgive my sins. I put my faith in you. Maybe you're already saved, but you want to get baptized. The Bible says that we are buried with Him in baptism and we're risen to walk in newness of life, in the likeness of the resurrection. And if you need to be baptized this morning, now you can make your decision. If you have some other burden on your heart, some need, we can pray about it together today. But I assure you, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, He is listening for your prayer. He can hear you where you are. God, use this time to draw us to you, to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The lepers at the gate said, "Why do we just let it be as it is? Why don't we at least try to do something to make a difference? Why don't we at least try something to make our lives better?" And then when they found what they needed, they shared it. If you found Christ as your Savior, He's washed your sins away, don't forget to share the gospel with others who need a Savior. This is your opportunity. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us in prayer?